Simply Authentic is the podcast where realtors and referral partners get the conversations they actually want to hear. I'm Crystal Forbes with Great American Title, a family-owned and operated title company with over 30 years serving the real estate community. We provide title and escrow services for both Missouri and Kansas with locations throughout Southwest Missouri. We focus on providing exceptional customer service and trustworthy, reliable title insurance coverage. Our relationships with other industry professionals are why we are able to make dreams come true one closing at a time. Great American Title is proud to sponsor the Simply Authentic podcast, bringing the most relevant, real, and sometimes challenging conversations that help all of us get better. Tune in, subscribe, and let's keep this industry moving forward together. Simply Authentic, recorded at the Gershman Mortgage Studios, available wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome to the Simply Authentic podcast with Angie and Tanya. We are real estate pros, entrepreneurs, leadership gurus, and community enthusiasts. Our passion is sharing our experiences to enrich the lives of others. We hope to inspire you to live authentically. Welcome back to the Simply Authentic podcast. I'm Angie Mullings.
And I'm Tanya Murfin. And as we all prepare and get ready for the holidays, because they're getting closer and closer, we have a really fun guest on today with the general manager of the Battlefield Mall, Amanda Estes. So welcome, Amanda.
Thank you.
We're excited
it's
that you're
good
here.
To have you here.
Thank you.
As a shopaholic, I can say that I've frequented the Battlefield Mall a few times.
Good deal. Yeah. Love to hear that. So,
yeah. I do my part.
Thank you.
So as we get started here, why don't you just give a little background on yourself before we start talking about the mall?
Yeah. So I am from Springfield area, Southwest Missouri. Played ball at Evangel and SBU and just came back to Springfield, and this is home for me. So as far as getting to Battlefield Mall, one day I saw a post on Facebook that they were hiring for a marketing administrator, and marketing was my degree. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, could I do that? I could post on social media. That'd be fun. And so I applied, interviewed, obviously got it, was in that position for 6 months, and then a guest service manager position opened up. And we used to sell the gift cards, the Simon gift cards, right? Mm-hmm. So I was over that entire program for about a year and a half. And then the marketing director position opened up. So I stepped into that role and was in that role for 7 years, and then now 3 years in this role. So
that's
I've
awesome.
Had some really cool opportunities with Simon and been able to stay in my hometown, which is awesome.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. So it might be good for our listeners to understand that Simon is the owner of several. It's an international company. We were speaking before we got on the air here. So it's an international company. It owns several mall complexes. So and they happen to have, I asked if they were the only or if they had been the owner for the entire time that the Battlefield Mall has been there, and answer is yes, it's always been a Simon property.
Yes, it was built in 1970, the first part of it, which we're shaped like a T, so the top of the T was born, it was built in 1970, and then the rest of it down to the dining pavilion was 1983.
Okay, fun fact. Mm-hmm. And it got hit by a tornado too.
I did not know that.
Yes,
that is crazy.
Were you there at the time?
Did you seek shelter? Did they get you to shelter appropriately?
Surprisingly, I was not there at that time. But I don't know that it did sustain some damage. And I want to say that was in the 80s, like early 80s, when we had a big tornado outbreak in it. And it went down Glenstone. Mm-hmm. And I believe there was some damage sustained at that point.
Okay.
Fun fact.
Another fun fact.
We're full of them.
And the last fun fact about the history of the mall we will give is, because we're in real estate, we have been taught from the very beginning in our real estate classes that the Battlefield Mall was on a long-term land lease. And that is true, correct?
Yeah, part of the areas are, and some are not.
Okay.
For example, I can speak to Dillard's. So they just recently renovated the former Sears. They purchased that building. So that building is theirs.
Okay. That's interesting.
That is.
Okay. So it's a unique a unique situation.
Yeah, very. Apparently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We learned that in real estate school, and I always thought it was interesting, but it's one of the few examples they can give of long-term leases where someone can build on a property and it just be owned by another party and be leased. Mm-hmm. So the land is leased. Mm-hmm. So that said then, not every store, there is the potential for a store to own the a building.
The
on
only one, the only one for us was the Dillard's building.
Okay,
that's the only one on our property. Okay. But I'm sure another
there are
properties.
Others. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah,
that is interesting.
Yeah.
So as we get into this holiday season, retail's where it's at, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Family experiences, memories, and retail. Mm-hmm. So give us just a perspective from your point of view and your job at the Battlefield Mall of what's happened over the years with the changing of times, really, with retail coming in and out, with Amazon and big box mm-hmm. stores and online presence of so mm-hmm. many stores. Can you speak to that so we all have an understanding of kind of the ebbs and flows of what it's like to
yeah,
be absolutely. Involved in it?
Yeah, so in-person shopping is thriving. We are on a high.
Good.
Ever since the dreaded COVID,
yes.
right?
Uh-huh.
It's continually to just continue to go up and be successful. So one thing I will say to that is it is all changing. It's ever changing. But I think people are combining that shopping experience.
Mm-hmm.
We all shop online, mm-hmm. myself included,
mm-hmm.
But we also shop in store.
Yes.
And the stores have adapted by offering like buy online, pick up in store.
Mm-hmm.
They offer curbside.
Mm-hmm.
Gift cards have always been a thing where you can purchase in store or
right.
online. So I think they're amping that up a little bit more and offering those as amenities
mm-hmm.
To the actual brick and mortar
mm-hmm.
store.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just combining both of the shopping together.
Yeah. And you know, for me, again, an admitted shopaholic, I have to touch things. I
yes.
want to touch and feel things, certain things. There are things that I will buy online, but for the most part, I don't buy a lot of clothing online because A, I want to try it on,
mm-hmm.
and B, I want to know how it feels.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that these stores combining that type of shopping experience has to be very beneficial for them. And if somebody comes in your store to pick up an online order,
mm-hmm.
what are the chances they might buy something
mm-hmm.
else, right? It's a
yes.
it's a marketing tool, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a good point with the touch, try, buy. I mean, that's a big thing. It's
yeah.
a very big thing, and especially with clothing.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You don't want it to itch or just not fit and then to return and all the things. But, you know, they can also... Speaking of returns, you can also sometimes return in store too.
Mm-hmm.
So I
true.
Mean,
they're
just making it more convenient to combine mm-hmm. both ways of shopping together.
Yeah, yeah, so. Yeah. Having been in that mall setting for over 10 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have seen a ton.
Yes.
So much change in mm-hmm. 10 years. Tanya and I can remember when we used to go to the mall, and that's where we'd meet all our friends, and that was the only place you could mm-hmm. go, right, if you wanted to hang out with your friends, and it was the only safe place to go, I should say,
mm-hmm.
and or go to the movie theater, or
yep.
all those things,
mm-hmm.
and we've seen this evolution, and we were talking pre-broadcast about, I remember in 2020, 2021, going to a conference in St. Louis, and I forgot something. I forgot makeup or something, and I thought, I'm going to run by Chesterfield Mall before I go to the conference, and I got there, and it was closed. I mean, there were two stores still open, and now it's not even there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So tell our listeners about, since you were there, you experienced the whole thing, talk us through that and what the comeback has looked like.
Yeah, absolutely. So one thing I will say is Simon Property Group, David Simon, always seems to be just one step ahead, right?
Okay.
He's always on, he is the leading of shopping centers.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're always adapting, always making changes. And one thing that they've really accommodated with that is the experience. So we're not just going to the mall anymore just to buy a pair of shoes or a pair of jeans. You're coming in for entertainment. Your dwell time is much longer,
mm-hmm.
right? So
okay.
we're offering things to families. It's not just the mother coming and shopping.
Mm-hmm.
The dad's coming, the kids are coming, and they all have things to do or mm-hmm. all have places to shop. And I think just adapting that change and just adding those different retailers and different experiences has been a big deal. And then also, he's invested a lot in his properties. If you haven't been to the mall in the last year, we've gone under a major renovation. We have all new tile up from the dining pavilion up to the Sephora court, and then all new lighting throughout. And so it's just fresh and new, exciting. We got rid of the carpet, which is, we've been wanting that for so long.
Sure. Yes.
Literally since I've started, that's been a project that's been on our list. But yeah, I think just reinvesting into the properties and making them more appealing and fun. So and David Simon is, and his team, has, they've done a great job across his portfolio of doing that.
Yeah. Is there ever a perfect mix of businesses in the mall? I mean, I know places come and go. Like, for instance, many moons ago, it feels like now, the Gap went out. And I loved the Gap. And you go to other malls across the nation, really, and you'll see the Gap there. So it, you know, makes me wonder what makes a seemingly popular store in my mind go out in one mall, but then you can find it still in other malls around the country or around the world or whatever. What drives those economic factors, do you know?
I don't know exactly what would drive that, but we have a large leasing team. Most of them are based out of Indianapolis, which is where our headquarters is at. Some of those national brands, just that's a, just a natural thing. They just come and go. You know, and there might be some malls that say, I want to put, you know, a Gap in these five malls. And our leasing rep might say, well, can you add Battlefield in there? They've got this, this, and this going on. You know, let's see if we can add another mall. Or it's a package
kind of
thing.
Sure.
So I think it's just a natural ebb and flow of all of that, and maybe trying their different brands in different areas or different markets and what's working and what's not and all of that.
Because it makes sense that any storefront can make it in one market and not make it in another. I mean, it just, for whatever reason, you know, those of us sitting at this table probably don't know those specific facts, but it probably comes down to money and drive. And that's yes,
for sure.
That's interesting. You know, Springfield is known as a test market for restaurants. That's why we have so many.
We do.
So, you know, businesses, franchises, chain restaurants test out the Springfield market before they move on to other markets. Do you know if that's even a thing in retail?
So Lululemon, right? So when they first came to Springfield, they were at the Brentwood Center as a pop-up. Now they're with us perm. So I think that was a test. I'm not for sure. I can't speak to that lease and that agreement. But to me, that was more of a test market to see how it would work. Because we've been asking for Lululemon for how long, right?
Yes.
I mean, the community has.
Right.
They've popped up in different yoga studios and things like that. But to actually test the market, they put in a pop-up store and then now they're with us.
Interesting.
So I think it does happen.
Well, and on that note, how often do you see the voices being heard of the community? You know, so you just said, you know, the voices were heard from the people who wanted Lululemon. One might think, like, if Tanya thinks she wants the Gap to come back, who's going to listen to me? So where do you see that information come into you?
So I get to be the advocate, right? I'm fighting for the community in a sense.
Good.
I'm the voice for us. And so, and I am vocal. Like, the only thing, they can tell me no, right? That's the worst thing they could tell me. They could tell me no. So I have a list of stores that's on a wish list. You know, Cheesecake, right? Cheesecake Factory. That's always on, that's been on the wish list since I've been in school. So, I mean, we have this wish list, and we have monthly meetings with our leasing team and development, and we talk through some of those things. Is it realistic? Could we make it happen? Where would they go? Different things like that. So I'm kind of the voice for us, and I do speak what I feel and what I think we need here. So I don't get to make the decisions, but in that sense, but I can at least tell them, like, hey, we're asking for a Trader Joe's, or we want a cheesecake. Can you figure it out and make it happen?
You know? Okay, we're going to talk
love
after
that,
this.
Though.
I may have a
and now we know you. Now all the listeners have your name.
I know.
So.
You may wish you didn't.
Send me the ammo. I can just keep. In fact, whenever that story went out on Facebook about Trader Joe's, right?
They were
coming and then oops, they weren't.
Yeah.
I screenshot that and I sent it to our developer and I said, look at all the traction that this is getting.
Yeah.
They want Trader Joe's here. Yeah. What can we do to make it happen?
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
So you said something interesting, and now my question is going to be, what is your role? What do you do as a general manager? Because you have a team because you're a Simon property. You have a team that is in another part of the country who solicits these businesses and retail organizations to come to the mall, and they can package that if so. Mm-hmm. So you do have a voice in that, but you're not the one pitching that, if you will, to the company.
It's just a very small voice.
You probably have monthly meetings or weekly meetings, whatever, and you guys talk about all those things. Mm-hmm. What is then the role of the general manager for Simon Property? Is that a difficult? I don't think
how
we had
much
that
time
Melissa.
Do we have?
Yeah.
So just short version, I guess. We have a very small local team as well. So I have an operations director, which I'm currently hiring for. So if you know anyone, send my way.
Okay.
And I have a marketing director. Those are the three managers of the property.
Okay.
And then we have two admin and three maintenance staff. And that is who covers the 80 acres, 1.2 million square feet.
Wow.
Yes. So it's a full team effort in all things.
Yes.
But as far as my role goes, I mean, I think it's just obviously general overseeing all the things that are happening there, right? Mm-hmm. Making sure the lights are on, plumbing's flowing, retailers are happy. You know, there are customers, the retailers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the shoppers are happy.
Mm-hmm.
And just being that liaison between what's happening on the ground to and voicing that to corporate in all different aspects.
Right.
When stores come in, whether they're a national brand, regional, or local, we work with the GCs to make sure that they're on track for their construction, set up anything that we need to help them, just really with anything.
Mm-hmm.
Just being on the ground, helping them get their construction going and the new stores built. And then just working with like marketing for events and things like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, just wherever I am needed, that's where I don't know. I mean, it's a lot of different things.
Yeah.
Truly.
It is a lot of different things,
but so fun.
I bet.
Different every day. And I love it. I never thought I would do it.
Yeah.
Like when I was in marketing for 7 years, the GM at the time was like, you're going to be a GM. And I'm like, I just like doing the fun stuff, the events.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about light bulbs and that stuff, but here I am. And I love it. It's so much fun.
Yeah.
So much fun. But again, every day is different.
Yeah.
Every single day. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
That is cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Angie, I think it's a good time to take a break.
Oh, yes. We should take a break. Great leadership isn't about a title. It's about influence, impact, and the ability to navigate change with confidence. Many leaders struggle to communicate their vision, inspire their teams, and make strategic decisions that drive results. Without the right tools, performance and progress can stall. That's where I can help. I'm Angie Mullings. With decades of experience, I can deliver a dynamic keynote and conduct hands-on workshops that equip leaders to lead authentically and create lasting impact. Ready to invest in a more engaged and high-performing team? Reach out today to schedule a consultation.
And we're back with Amanda Estes. She's the general manager at the Battlefield Mall. And let's talk about economic development. Okay. So in Springfield in general, Angie and I on the podcast have been exposed to numerous different people across our community that are either directly involved with it, they sit on a committee, a task force, and it's a big topic and has been over the last 10 years or so in Springfield. So how do you feel like your role at the Battlefield Mall plays into that economic development factor for the region?
Mm-hmm. So I think just in general, as far as speaking to numbers and what we contribute to all of that, I don't have those exact numbers, but we support local just in general.
Yeah.
So we have local retailers like Fusion Eats, Joe's Records, Eye Candy. Those are local people that have a permanent establishment in the Battlefield Mall.
Yeah.
And then also we work with nonprofits. So marketing does, we do several different events like with Salvation Army, Community Partnership of the Ozarks, Parents as Teachers. And so I think just connecting with that local community. As far as like economic development and being connected and things like that, I could probably do a better job being connected with more more with the city and mayor and things like that, and learning what we need in that respect. And that's on my list to get more involved with. But you know, work and personal, you got to figure that out, right? Like as a mom, like that's a tough balance. But so yeah, I think. So we just kind of, and Allie's my marketing director, so I might talk about her a little bit, but her and I both are just, what can we do to support that that makes sense for us, right? And is not too, we're not overexerting our time and efforts. And so I think for us, it's just connecting with local businesses to try something in the mall or the local nonprofits and charity.
So. Do you... You may not know this, and we didn't have this. I'm just wondering, do you know how many people pass through your doors in a day, average number?
There's more than 12 million a year.
Okay.
So daily, I'm not, I don't have that exact number, but obviously the next couple months is where the big numbers hit. I can say traffic's been up significantly this year, which is great. I think it's the renovation.
It is.
And some of the new tenants we've brought in, like Lovesac, Warby. I mean, those more elevated tenants are going to drive more traffic.
Well, and I ask that because that all comes back to economic development. If you're seeing, what did you say, 12 million?
12 million.
12 million people in a year. And, you know, you do the math on if every person that walks in buys something, whether it is a, you have, what is your coffee place that's in the... I don't know what you call it.
The East Court?
Yes.
It's Mocape. She's local as well. Coffee
so
is great.
Even if they buy a pretzel at Annie Ann's or a coffee at Mocape, they're still spending dollars, which helps our economy. So that's still cranking out money into our economy and helping the Springfield economy in general. You know, I do want to follow up on what you just said about attracting local businesses within the mall. There was a time that you could walk in the mall and really, other than Orange Julius is the only one that comes to mind, which dates me, it goes back a long way, but that was the only locally owned business in the mall. So and I noticed a shift, and I don't know when it was, but and maybe it was around 2020 when maybe the national retailers weren't expanding and actually pulling back, that I started to see more, a few more boutiques in the mall. And so if your corporate team is trying to attract people like that, how does a mom and pop in Springfield, Missouri get to be at the mall? Are you the conduit for that? Do they come to you directly? And then you say, I think this would be a great fit for our as a tenant.
Yeah, so I'm tasked to do local leasing. So that is one of my added to my list that I didn't mention earlier.
Okay.
So I canvass, I go out and I visit businesses.
I
should probably do it more than I do, but but also you can call and say, what does it take? We can start those initial conversations, we can look at spaces, and then I will probably at some point hand it over to if we have a perm, we have a perm leasing rep, which handles anything above a year. And then we have a short-term leasing rep, which is a year or less.
Okay.
So we kind of have those conversations. I get them involved, and then we decide what would make sense. I mean, at the end of the day, it has to be successful for both.
Right.
We're not just going to say, well, this is the dollar per square foot. You have to pay it or you can't be here. It's what's going to make sense.
Oh, okay.
We don't want you to come in here and 3 months in, you're like, I can't do this anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
We're maxed out.
And then, well, that's going to leave us with a vacant space, right? We don't want that. And then we don't want you to leave if you're really committed to making it happen. So, so I help and assist and work with them on that. And then I pull in Allie to help with marketing too. Her and I will go canvassing together. Sometimes we end up shopping a little bit, but it's
why
fun.
Not? See, that would be my problem. I couldn't have your job.
Right. Yeah. I have to, it's a joke. Like we have to leave our wallet in the office because we walk multiple times a day.
Yeah.
And now that we can buy things on our phones and just, you know, scan the tap to pay, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Used to, I could just leave my wallet and be okay.
But. So is there a mix percentage that you want to have big box retail, you want to have your local, you want to have so many eateries, you want to have experience type of tenants? Is there a perfect mix for that?
I don't think there's a perfect mix, or I don't think there's a goal that we have to meet with that. Okay. I think it's just what makes sense for your property, to be honest. We do need, and more to come in the future, we'll be announcing soon, but some entertainment, that again, to increase that dwell time and to attract the whole family.
Yeah.
And then we need some really good restaurants.
Yeah.
Sit down. We need some sit down restaurants. We have a couple spaces open in the dining pavilion that I think a great local tenant would be successful in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then we have a couple of areas to do, again, a full sit down restaurant.
Yeah.
So, I don't think there's a perfect mix of that, but it's definitely needs to be cohesive and work together for sure.
So corporate doesn't mandate that you have 50% big box retail, and it's just each community is going to be a little different.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, and watching the mall evolve over the years, I mean, we've all, growing up here, we've all experienced the mall for 40 years, right? We're probably a little older than you, Amanda, but we won't talk about that.
Not much.
But not much. You talking about something that makes people stay longer. In our era, it was Aladdin's Castle and the movie theater being there. And I've never thought of it like that before, that you've got to have some sort of pull to get people to stay there longer, whether it be the kids in Aladdin's Castle or the families that go to the movie theater and they come back out, maybe they eat dinner, whatever that looks like. But that makes sense. And the place down by Dillard's that is the climbing place.
Urban Air.
Yes. So I didn't even realize that was there because Sears was closed for several years. You know, I didn't find myself going down there unless I needed to eat something while I was there. So I didn't even know that was there for a while. And it just, it makes sense to me that you need some another reason for families or, you know, teenagers to come and to dwell there for a while. Because more than likely, they're going to end up spending dollars on food and or drinks and or going shopping and, you know, so.
Yeah, absolutely.
It all really makes sense and comes full circle with the whole mention of Aladdin's Castle in the movie theater.
We have a picture of Aladdin's Castle in our conference room. We have
a
timeline. And that's on. That is probably the one that I hear the most about,
is it?
Like of memories.
We've had a couple of people who are in the arena of trying to attract clients and you call it dwell time, you know, in sports, it's called something else. Anyway, are you guys looking at doing, and I put on here the example of the Savannah Bananas because they have done something so unique with baseball. Are you guys brainstorming ideas to get that dwell time up in terms of something that's unique that people aren't seeing just everywhere?
Yeah. So, I mean, marketing, used to, we would have events all the time. And when I was marketing director, it seemed like every week at some point in time or monthly, at least, we were having events. And instead of doing that, we're now making our events a little bit bigger and a little bit more, you just get more out of it. Instead of it being, hey, we're having an event while you're here shopping, it's becoming more of an event like, hey, we're having an event, come to the mall.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
And
yeah, I mean, I would love to work with even the local sports teams. Like, wouldn't that be fun to have them come out and do like autograph times or like the mascots and things like that?
Yes.
I mean, we're open to all of that. It just, again, just has to make sense.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then again, what I mentioned a little bit ago is that entertainment, it's coming.
It's coming.
That's what I can say, it's coming. And so I think once you see that happening, I think you'll see some more things like that.
Good. Is there any place you can announce right now that's coming?
The J. Crew was one. Right now we have 5 stores under construction. We have Riddle's Jewelry. We have Ismora, which is another jewelry, similar to kind of Kendra Scott. I think of more like petite jewelry, right?
Yes, yeah.
Joe's Records just opened. Oh my gosh, and I've lost the other two. Cinnabon.
Yeah, I saw
that one's coming. Yeah, yeah. That's been one that's been requested a lot.
Yeah.
And then we have some activity going on in the Women's Dillard's building, because as we talked earlier, they've combined the two stores into the one.
Yes.
So we have activity and construction started on that building, and hopefully we'll announce that in the next couple of months.
Okay.
Really excited about that one.
Yeah.
And then for the men's building, we're working on a few things. We have some ideas that we're going to maybe try out. I have a couple, actually I have a couple meetings set up, but that one's a unique building. It's two stories.
Yeah.
Yes.
Weird shape, right?
Yes.
But unique and fun.
Absolutely.
Could make something really neat out of it, facing the park. So,
yes.
We'll see. There's some things in the works.
Good.
For sure.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah. Angie and I decided, in preparation for our podcast partners like yourself, that we needed to go mall walk.
You should.
And we did.
You did.
Yes, we did. It's been done.
Last
been
week,
done, Amanda.
We went and we mall walked. And it actually is a great idea for us to brainstorm in the future, because we got a lot done during that meeting.
Yeah, we did.
But during that walk.
That's
awesome. So two questions there. One related to mall walking in general.
Yeah.
So that kind of has been we should go mall walk, like, you know, the old people. Well, here we are, the old people.
And we're not old.
Now. We're not old at
to
all.
To be
but,
clear, no. we're not.
Right,
no.
but
yeah.
is that still a thing? Is that still something that the mall actually markets to and or plans for?
Yeah, I'm actually glad you really asked that, because after COVID, and we used to open at 7 a.m., mall walkers could come in and walk until open.
Yeah.
Post-COVID, that was kind of shut down.
Yeah.
Just recently, Simon and several centers have partnered with Humana to bring back mall walking.
Oh.
So they are the mall walker sponsor right now. We open at 9 o'clock Monday through Friday, just so you have an hour to come in and walk before. I mean, you can always come in and walk at any time.
Right.
But if you don't want the hustle and bustle and you want to kind of put a little, you know, go a little quicker with your walk, maybe.
Yeah.
that gives you time to do that. So,
That's
so we've
nice.
Just we've just started that in the last
that's
couple
awesome.
Of months.
That's
so.
Great.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
It really is refreshing to go do that again. I actually mall walked right after COVID opened stuff back up.
Okay.
Because it was cold and, you know, and what else do you have to do when you can't really go do things like you used to? So,
right.
a friend and I would go mall walk. But it gave, not only gave Angie and I eyes on all the stores that have changed there, but, and just a good reminder as a local to go to the mall and check it out. And wear your tennis shoes if you're alone and you can get some steps in while you're there with a friend. But just a great reintroduction to everything's at the mall, because you to mall walk, you go the whole mall down every little, you know,
it's just over a mile.
Right. Yeah,
it's just over a mile if you do the whole go down to the entrances and around, just stay on the edge.
Goodness, Tanya, we walked a lot that day.
We did,
and didn't even know it because we were talking. Again, you know, we try to encourage people to get out and do things and experience things in our community, and what better way than to go have a walk with a friend and check out what's going on over there.
Yeah. For sure.
There's a lot going on.
And I would encourage that. I mean, there's, again, we've lived here for how long, right?
Yeah.
And if you've not gone in a while, it is a lot different.
It is very
completely
different
actually. Yes. And especially with the renovation we just completed.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of that project.
Yeah.
It just makes a huge difference.
Yeah. It looks really nice. It looks refreshed.
Thank you.
Yeah.
The new Dillard's is fabulous.
Yes.
It is gorgeous.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
My second question that I was going to ask is this time of year, the holiday decor comes up. And so we're getting right in the thick of holiday shopping. What is the most exciting thing for the mall, for those of you that work at the mall during this time of year? I know Santa comes out and that's a big setup outside of JCPenney, and that's always fun to see, but tell me what the holidays are like for you.
Yeah, so probably the last few months at our staff meetings, it's always like we just take a big deep breath. Okay, Christmas is right around the corner, right?
Yeah.
You know, we take down the set after the first year, and it's like, okay, we just have a few more months and we're preparing for Christmas again.
Yeah.
For me personally, and I think I could speak for Allie in this too, it's putting up the decor and welcoming Santa. It's just like, it's a whole nother look and feel and element,
sure.
right? there's more people. People are excited to be there. They're excited to buy gifts for others, and they know they're going to love that gift. And Allie and I are out there, and when I have an operations director, he or she's out there with us too. But we're connecting with the customers. I mean, we sometimes will stand at the directories and help guide people, and they might ask, you know, what's a good idea to get so and so and so. I'm like, oh, go try this store. So I think being able to be out there and connect with them, I think, is really fun. And then there's just something about turning the corner at Sephora Court and seeing Santa, right?
Yeah.
Like no matter what, no matter what you believe, it's just fun to see him sitting there.
I had a short stint in retail before I got my real estate license, and I was at Eddie Bauer.
Okay.
So I was, what I loved about, and when you're in retail, you work ridiculous hours, especially at the holidays. Let's just be honest. It is what it is. You work ridiculous hours. But what I loved about it was the energy. Like the energy, I would walk, and it's one thing if you can go to the mall and let's say you've got most of your Christmas shopping done. If you have to go and you're under stress to get gifts and that kind of thing, it's a whole different thing. Yes. But if you can go and just enjoy the atmosphere and the energy that is in that building at Christmas time, it's amazing. I just loved it. I would leave and go just walk a few stores down just because I wanted to be in that. I wanted to feel all of that. So, and I love it. I love that feel. Again, if you're not stressed, so get your gifts not early,
start now.
So that you can go there. But I love that, and I love the guys that would come in on Christmas Eve or the day before Christmas Eve and have to buy a bunch of gifts. I loved helping those customers because they really needed you to make suggestions. It's just fun.
I love going around on Christmas Eve. I'm there until we close, and I'll go around and I'll talk to almost every retailer just towards the end of the day, and I'm like, we did it, we made it, great job, you know, and just they're proud, they're like, exhausted, but we're proud, you know. So it's just, it is, it's good. I'm glad you said that, because it is, it's a different energy. The Christmas music's playing, the red, the lights, all the things.
Good stuff.
So tell us what the holiday hours are for the mall, so that everybody knows that.
So Black Friday, we're open 6 a.m. to 9 p.m.
Okay.
And then from Black Friday to Christmas Eve, Monday through Friday, will be 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. Actually, Monday through Saturday, 10 to 9, and then Sunday, 11 to 7.
Okay.
So it's just a slight difference. We add an hour during the week and then add 2 hours on Sunday.
Okay. And so, what days is Santa there?
So he's arrived.
Yeah.
He is here. He came in on Friday.
Oh. Fresh from the North Pole.
So pictures are already starting. But his hours kind of vary. So I would suggest just going to battlefieldmall.com.
Okay.
And up at the very top, you can RSVP to schedule an appointment, which I highly encourage. Especially if you're wanting to come in on a weekend.
Yeah.
Saturday, the line gets pretty long.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would just go to the website. That way you can see the exact times on that one. Yeah. And we do have a couple of events. We have, well, this will be after we air, but we do have a pet photo night every year with our Santa.
Ooh,
and then we do have a caring Santa, which is on Sunday, December 7th. It's for families who might need to, like, it's an inclusive event. So if you need the lights down or the music low, they can come in before the mall opens.
Oh.
And it allows them, and they have a little bit more time in their appointments to kind of warm up to Santa.
That's awesome. Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
So we do that on December 7th. And then Breakfast with Santa is actually on December 6th, the day before that. So 10:30.
Great tips.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. We do a lot of fun things surrounding the big guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. As you should.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, thank you, Amanda. This has been very insightful and hopefully gets everybody excited about shopping at the mall. And if you're not going to be shopping, then go mall walk, because it truly is a different experience than it was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, truly. So thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you so much.
We enjoyed it. And we want to thank Gershman Mortgage for recording with us, and also our premier sponsor, Great American Title.
Thanks for listening. Make sure you like and share us on our social media, and share this episode with a friend.
See you next time.
Find today's full video by searching the Simply Authentic podcast on YouTube. Hit subscribe, and there you will find full videos of every episode.